recognize the presence coming in the door of the room, reflect maybe it's 9 or 4 a.m. and have your eyes recording in the time to have one more stretch to our representative. Whole story, things expand, cracks, and shreddy, and myself representative spinals. And we are going to commit this, although we won't be taking any official action today. Thanks, Happy and Play for Half Forever, and the British in Raleigh for supporting us today. And today we're going to hear from Senator Mike Schauer, who's joining us via Teams, and our Representative John Lewis Collins on the bipartisan bicameral fiscal policy working groups. And a report and recommendations. This will be familiar to some members, but we've got the reason to report that this report out of the record that we have a little bit of discussion. We anticipate wrapping up this meeting at 10 o'clock today. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and invite this actually procedurally, we just sort of define what we're going to do because we're going back and forth between Teams and in person here. Chris Tompkins will sort of walk us through the fiscal policy working group report, and we're going to be passing this periodically during the introduction of the fiscal policy working group report, and to invite Senator Schauer to make his comments to the discussion, and then when we go ahead and push back, then we'll have an opportunity for community members to ask questions as well. If you have any questions about how we're structuring or any other comments, you can proceed. All right, we'll go ahead and we'll ask our Vice Counselors and Senator Schauer to introduce yourselves to our audience and proceed with your presentation.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. You're on your job and based on things. And that's why I don't want to thank you. Back and forth in terms of different aspects of our career. Somewhat improvisatorily take it going forward and speak to the working group process and to bring a report and recommendations. I'm looking at the report right now, and there's a really nice graphic in the middle of page 2 with the 1, 2, 3. Probably describes the process, well, it does describe the process that we took to the Senator Schauer to start with one and then move to two and then two or three. Which I don't know if it's a pre-wire before, but hopefully that works as it goes. So I can just kick off with people that have the problems and then pass off to Senator Schauer. As the final report described, it talks about what it is the first operating deficit look like, but it won't. I'll never be on unanimously adopting some fiscal assumptions. Really, what the report says, and I'm sure Senator Schauer will have a lot to add there as well, something that we talked about somewhat internally, but have since come to regret for not more, not incorporating into the final report really at all. Is agreed on with the problem and the definition of the problem. There's the math of this going under problem, yes, and that's described in a constituted a lot of internal working group process. And also, I should just add that we're looking at each other, that's one of the working group members, as I'm sure the end proxy is in the economic perspective as well. But the second aspect of the problem that we did spend some time discussing internally and producing some of authors and internal discussions between the governance problem and then a lot of experience in things like chronic governance that are growing in the budget. In fact, I'm sitting here right now in August and it's really looking at it and sort of regards what the perspectives are. This is not working well. And the risk of sort of governance failure and sort of failure in a number of our through passing the demo, thanks to Senator Starr.
Thank you, Jonathan, and welcome over to the committee. I apologize if I sound a little silly, but I'm out of the country right now. I've been working wherever I am, but I'll do my best to sound coherent. As Jonathan has described, and I'm going to speak a little more to the council tonight, I think what we found fascinating was we had a very diverse group from very left of center to very right of center, out of the 60 legislators. And to be quite frank, I think many of us believed coming into this it was going to be a first for us to agree on any solutions, to agree on much of anything, quite frankly. And by the end of what ended up being about, in the better part of 6 weeks of work as an alternate member, but ended up being pretty much a permanent member due to the other senators had around their availability, I'll be frank with you, I was quite surprised. But we were able to agree on the problem set and the assumptions, but more surprisingly, that we were able to agree on generically solutions. There are many paths forward. Several people sitting in the room had a chance to brief and talk about different ideas and solutions. But to watch this group with a perspective of almost from almost no PFD to a statutory PFD, concerned to the spending gap, to having a very strong spending gap, taxes, ability through that order, and you have to come out of this, you have to look at as Representative Christ Tompkins said, to have solutions, was a fascinating exercise, but most importantly, Jonathan has highlighted it. We have agreed upon solutions that this legislature needs to enact because we are on an unsustainable path, we all know that. So we have presented these solutions as Jonathan's going to go over with some other inputs that work, number one being the most important aspect, will actually solve our budget problems in a way that everybody has skin in the game. We have proposed ideas that also ask everybody, and this is a key aspect, to step off of their positions and move to the middle so that we can move forward with something that will work and spark us from fighting every single year. So I was very appreciative of Jonathan's efforts and the fact that we were able to have a discussion that moved forward to ground the brief that he's given me tonight. I guess I won't give you. And I just wanted to kind of highlight that aspect before we get into the details, but it was a rather it was impressive, to be quite frank, folks, to watch this group be able to come forward with solutions. So I'll stop the soapboxing there, but I think it's a very important aspect to see that many people from that diverse of background be able to come together and agree on a way forward. And with that being said, I'm going to stop and pass it back to him and talk about the specifics. But we'll start our first line, folks, on the spot where last is expected to deserve it. We have some solutions. I think it's time that we come together and find a way to agree on enough for us to make it work. Thank you.
Thank you, Shower. I want to thank you for making yourself available at 2 a.m. Your time. I think that the chairman is guiding you in the wrong direction, the time difference. So I apologize. I'm very appreciative that you were able to make it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Jonathan Grace Hopkins again. So that describes number one and schematic at the bottom of page two, and then you know that the parts of this vision are was an effort to basically describe the conceptual components, the differential pieces of the puzzle of what we call both mathematically sort of balanced budget and sort of politically for something that could potentially house would be the components of the solution. Almost all of them, of course, are things that have been sort of gathered around. And there's a couple that I think of working through. They're a little new. And one, of course, there's some budget reserve reform. And that was something that came up. And there was, just to me in particular, a lot of discussion that wasn't really needed. If we're able to solve these other pieces, CBA before we really served the state. And so that's something that we can have a tremendous amount of previous legislative exposure. We've been on a healthy capital budget, substantially more than we've seen in recent fiscal years. As like a baseline fiscal assumption going forward, in revenues, looking at reductions in efficiencies in government, but ideally through a more structural statutory approach and scope, and then transition period. So these are the different major pieces that some of us have is seeming to be the next for a comprehensive solution. And I think the one other thing I would add, which is at the top of page 3, the bulleted list is that process. And a comprehensive solution must be negotiated and agreed to as a whole, not by one point in time. And then all of us, for very good ideological reasons, felt that that was absolutely necessary, and that process wise, there was little to no chance of success if that principle was not observed. And I mean, Senator Schauer or Representative Brasher speaks to this, but if taxes were the first piece on the table, and if we took up a tax bill, then there was agreement or promise of another provision that might be more of Senator Schauer's ideological ranking. That would be, I think, a tough pill to swallow and probably make the next one part. And conversely, which for myself personally, certainty on the permanent fund dividend is something that I can't really consider without taxes and revenues. And you're getting degree of certainty or sharpening where you're agreeing and compromise on that. And so that process point, even at the top, is being extremely important. And the other process point, which is like, we're sort of ballpark even using broad sense of where people are out or could be out, is like trying to hone in on the political medium and the legislature is. And looking at first to say we're almost certainly wrong at certain places, and that's the whole point of the full 60 to 20 to 40 sort of coming up with something different or better. But something different than it is, just pulsing out the wheels and doing something that's not completely realistic. And really, it's bad results in where we have to look at how we actually get to 2011 and kind of say what it puts in. And that's a reasonable question. And it's something that, believe it's a good faith, although I'm sure we've heard in different, we've got many places in terms of where that actually is, but that was something that we tried to sort of keep in for throughout, and I think it's very important. Part of the solution process wise, I would love to do it. But with that, I can take the senator's share.
Thank you, Representative Christoph. So I want to just take a very brief on this one. And by the way, Representative Spurs, if you get word, it's just that the math is what it is when the time zones are 17 hours apart. It's kind of tough to make it work, but we'll do our best. So, an important aspect of what I believe perhaps the most important aspect is for the sun is that when you take any of these individual pieces of this report, either or own, number one, as Senator Kiel pointed out, because like I said, this is very fascinating that you have such a broad perspective, but at the end of the day, we've got to be agreed at least on a way forward. If you only serve one or two of these things, we don't solve the problem. If we do not come forward with a comprehensive package, for a number of reasons, we fail. And you can look at that individually, for example, as what Trump Press Talk has just said. If we only put something forward on the PFD, in this state, for example, it was too close to a statutory funding. For some of the legislators, that's too much, we'll fail. If we go too far away from a market in the middle of 50-50 plan, it loses another group of legislators, and we fail. If we put up just taxes, it doesn't solve the problem, number one. If that's all we're going to do, you won't have enough legislators to come forward with the effort. It would fail. So, even to the extent of a spending gap, we agree that we need to make some changes, not as strong as some of us wanted, more than others wanted. But at the end of the day, we're able to find that this comedy today, and Brown themselves won't have enough support for any of these things from any side of the political spectrum to actually make this work. But taken as a whole, when you put all of these things together, it brings enough of us to a point where we might be able to have a comprehensive package that solves the problem and pulls enough people into the effort to be able to successfully pass the items to make this work. And so, as he has pointed out, I think it's a very critical point from the report of the local group that we have to solve the entire problem. And while it matters, it may take more than just a few weeks, but if we're not moving on the path to solve the entire thing, we are likely to fail in the effort to find ourselves really much more well. So that was a really important point that I think he gave me a chance to say.
Processes that would lead to a lot of technical decisions.
spirited by listening to one another and accepting the fact that somebody has a different opinion and trying to figure out why and address those concerns. But every court is somebody's concerned about something in that meeting discussion. There's some process that you have to go through. It takes a lot of time. We have to honor that process and honor one another to get from there to there.
Thank you, Mom Chad. I do apologize. I told you my brain was going to be a little behind you, but I tried to stick to the background process and show from record. I feel like I would be remiss if I did not give a little more kudos to Mark and Preston, because I think he's telling himself a little short. It's an incredibly tough task he was given, and as the same with Bill, I think he was trying to hurt cats. It's something that's not easy to do. And I want to highlight the fact that I think while your question is very germane to this effort, we did do a little more what needed to happen, specifically, mechanically, to solve the problem. I can give you some examples of stuff that should work come out, that's coming out. Many of us in the city have been discussing from the practice and how would we do this. So, you can go, for example, there are already a few measures. For example, trustees who have limits on a spending cap and constitutionalizing the PFD, the general assumption that we agreed had to happen for this to work. So, between bills and constitutional amendments, the mechanics of what would have to happen to solve each of these issues was discussed in general agreement. As you said, we're not really going to be able to sit around with this group, but we wanted to basically step to a place where we said, yes, we would have to do this with the PFD. Yes, we would have to do this with the constitutional amendment spending cap. Yes, we would have to have some rules for tax measures. And one of the things that also came out of it is that we would have to put these things together conditionally, and mechanically as you asked, to make it work. If, for example, we were going to pass taxes, then we would have to have, say, the spending cap passed, for example. If we were going to have something to do with the 50-50 PFD, then you would also have to see the marketing pass, right? Because we saw this was an effort that had to be comprehensive. It couldn't be one thing in and of itself. And if we, as Representative Chris Tompkins said a few minutes ago, if we just prefer a tax measure because that's all we can do right now, then that effort's going to fail. Because we're not solving the problems that are important by the legislature. So I think, again, not to sell themselves short, because I know he's trying really hard to represent the group on the end of the floor. We did have some very good discussions and got into the weeds at times about the mechanics of what each thing would take and how they should potentially be put together to make sure that everybody felt comfortable moving forward. Because look, you start with yourself, you might not agree with 50-50 on the PFD or constitutionalizing it, but understanding what other aspects that maybe you supported. I'm completely not trying to diverge you, Matthew, but maybe you support the revenue measures, the taxes, about the PFD. But the other half that we need to pull on board supports the PFD and our taxes. That was the effort. The other members of the working group certainly can feel free to cover as well. But I think that if we had a little more time, we could certainly talk about this in the last box. And I'll give you one more piece here very briefly. Representative Branches spoke to myself and some time that we spent on the side speaking with a few members to try to look at the way that we can have constitutional language for the PFD that would, for example, take PFD and still not have the formula in the Constitution. Why? Because many legislators don't want to see the Constitution as their way for us to do that. So I think that we probably explored the bottom of each rabbit hole as far as we could go with some mechanical solutions that would work. So I just wanted to add that in there that you can see some effort in the Senate to move on certain bills and put things together. I hope the House will be able to do the same thing. But I think if you were to ask more pointed questions and go down each rabbit hole as far as we can, you would find that we have probably discussed that issue with them. So thanks for letting me add that.
Senator Schneider really didn't support constitutionalizing a 50-50 split, but I am a supporter of the largest dividend media for patient asked about the doses that they were on.
I guess there's a few things. I have some questions, and so I'm sorry if that's too much to try to clarify. I really didn't clarify. Just realize that some people didn't want to do the 50 PFD, some people didn't want to. I mean, it's more practice instead of writing, because I think we've got to write it, so we're not talking. I'm assuming we're talking about these labs, and you said some people were opposed to that, some of them people were opposed to 50-50. Would you see that as kind of a trade-off? That the ones that went taxes said, okay, if you give me taxes on the 50-50, that'd be a nice person. That would be a deal. I mean, anyway, so, but were those the two sort of opposite poles of the decision matrix?
Thank you for the question, Dan, for what you said in general. I suppose you could say that when I read the averages that were taxed as well for revenues, that doesn't make sense for the business. And so, yes, in a manner of speaking, this was a grand compromise, because there were, as we pointed out in the big spike, there were quite diverse opinions. And for Alan Burke, you know, I would love to see if Representative Fresh Talk has a different opinion, but I think we spent a lot of time after discussing things and moving this further. But everybody in that group had to step off of their individual ideological positions, regardless of which caucus or party they came from. At the end of the day, it could have been more conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican, and became how do we solve the problem? And I brought up some of those examples that I talked to on the chair about something to make the point that you may support this and not that. I may support this and something else. However, what was amazing to watch over the about cycling process was that all of us started to bend and step up for our positions and go, well, I don't like that. But if I don't step up for my position, we're not going to solve the problem. And my individual pieces that I like, I would like to see happen, regardless of what they are where I come from, are not going to happen either if I can't step off of this to a more middle position so that somebody else would come out and say, well, I'll be left if you agree to do this. Because again, and this is a big question, I think one of the most important parts is that we all need to both realize that if we all don't do that, we don't have a comprehensive solution. We don't solve the problem. And moving forward, nothing's really going to happen. We're going to continue to fight about this and that. To go back to Sarah's comment about, what she might support in this particular case, or not, all fair, because we have our points of view, is that we present it, and it's okay, I'm sure you're aware of that, if you were part of it, that worked. And so, it was a compromise for, I believe, everybody, in some cases, maybe painfully so, but everybody was able to then actually come around to the fact that this was something that simply had to do for us to represent best practice, but not necessarily the mechanics of it, not necessarily for the math. But a lot of it was because of the politics. We have to find a way to work together to move forward and say yes. My answer, because you're describing 6 weeks of work and some hundreds of hours of our conversations, and everybody had to go to the middle. I hope that answers the question.
Another comment that was made earlier in this meeting today, you said some people for zero or little PFD and some people for full PFD, and that you sort of set your middle at 50-50, and sure, the number's 50-50, it's not in the middle of the 0 to 100 spectrum, but in the middle of the year, about 3,200, 1,600 is in the middle, and which represents the 33% draw of the PUMP, not 50% draw of the PUMP. So the middle position, numerically, mathematically, would be a 1,600 PFD. And anything north of that, which would be 50% PRB, but three quarters of the range. The fact that 50-50 isn't really in the middle, although it sounds like it's in the middle, and I don't know if that after a while started morphing into each other, but on the bottom of the page, I guess, 3, it says we're rather to a comprehensive solution on the silver platter, but rather to a number of ranges and bounds. number of certified House representatives members at other meetings about the lack of liens on the PFP. There's a range for cuts. There's a range for revenue. The PFP is a 50-50 target. And the strike zone, as we know, is a large area that you can put a strike, not just one area. So I realize the other two things have range, and the PFP has no range. It just says working towards a 50-50. Was there any discussion of what I'm saying in the middle? A $1,600 PFD, which is more than what we passed out of both bodies this year. So it seems to be a move toward compromise. Was there any talk of 33% or a range from 33 to 66 or something like that in the PFD area where you don't range it for everything else?
Before I go to Senator Sandler, Mark goes to have these things, that question, I just want to sort of contextualize where we are in the community. Today we're about 9:35. We're scheduled to wrap this committee up by 20 a.m. And we're still in Section 2, and I want to make sure that we're going to be able to get through Section 3 as well. So we're starting to dive into some discussions with elements that I think are really within the sort of the strengthening discussion. And wondering if potentially we want to defer questions that relate more to specific strike zone recommendations to that point in the hearing. Is everyone already comfortable with that? We're going to go into the PFD discussion here pretty shortly as well. So, can you hold that on for me?
I do have a question. I'm going to put you Section 2, correct?
Actually, Section 2.
Direct my question on the details. As far as the simultaneity of solutions, in other words, it's them standing individually, that the goals that they have to happen sort of at the same time. And I haven't been around here very long, but I remember early on in my earlier year, we had the same problem. And when we were in the cuts, we had some revenue, and you know, whether it was from oil companies or individuals or cuts in the budget. Those three benefits we talked about quite a bit. The idea was that we wouldn't be just one, and to be honest with you, it would be kind of at the same time. How do you do that? Because, right, that seems to be the hardest leap of saying, well, what is much better thing than this much revenue? And how do we do it at the same time? Because you're going to have this discussion of 53 PFD. In fact, I haven't seen a revenue bill from various bodies and entities.
For the record, it's a good question. I'm not sure there's a question that the property in my own minister. I mean, the best example is that, any of this would require a degree of coordination and trust and collaboration. I think it's worth underscoring that there will be no solution to this sort of chronic legislative dysfunction without some kind of constitutional amendment. The burden of time for penalty for PFD, whatever it is that you care about, that's going to need to happen. Therefore, you're going to need to fix the majority for the two to happen. Find a real solution to happen is going to be lasting. And to have a two-thirds supermajority, there's going to have to be coordination from all the four blocks at the center. There's going to be people who vote against it, but there's just going to have to be some degree of coordination. My best stab at that question, although it's, others could probably answer more capably than me, is that House and Senate mutually bills can kind of serve as a jump on the other, and you should really wait for certain things to come over, or certain committees to hold on to certain bills. Or, like, require trust between community as opposed to the reach of the market, years and years. But I think that's a valid way, broadly speaking, the process.
Thank you, Officer Dick, for saying that might be sort of two steps down the road as we still have to agree on sort of what the elements of the fiscal plan would be before we can figure out exactly how to navigate the procedural implementation and make sure that we're sure that mutually assured success moving forward with that. does destroying the class in the queue, just giving all the time back in February months to make sure that we get through this working group report we need to be in place?
On a special session. Bill and Powell, on the next tower that I've seen is Earthquake Towers, which hasn't been introduced. I was wondering, we've never done anything like that. What our focus really is, what is the entry to the planet? How we move forward. I guess it's a pretty special case. But can we get into more detail?
I think it's premature for us to do that at this point. I would really like to be able to get through the report. But the discussion behind it, the objective for today was to go through the working group. And I feel like the working group report and recommendations, I feel like we're starting to get into how we make this happen. And we haven't quite gone through what is it. Every aspect of the process is done with robust facilitation from legislative finance and always working with them. The budget model, which itself was calibrated to all of the fiscal decisions that were identified and found in the process. So we were always working within a balanced budget box, basically. And if stuff was outside of that box, then it was outside the scope of conversation, basically. So sort of magical fiscal thinking was not allowed because we were always tethering to the math of what our budget is. I think that was really helpful in the other reviewer members to, comment on their maybe different take than I did, but I think that was actually personally really, really important. And a lot of the internal budgetary credit and then start you through the process and making sure that we were sort of on firm ground and not sort of in natural thinking world in terms of whether the numbers work or whether it's going to be much worked in the same way kind of.
Is very germane. It's also, and I hope you understand the context, somewhat irrelevant. The reason I say that is we did discuss what you're bringing up, which is important. However, as Jonathan said, we did not tether ourselves to what a future legislator or governor or any of the people might do, because as the discussion that came about, well, what if? And we decided to bring ourselves back into the, we can't worry about what if. We have to worry about the math. We have to balance the problem moving forward. Any future legislature can decide to give university. Because no matter what steps we take today, we're not really tied to it. They can do something different, they can tweak it, they can alter it, they can reveal it. That's to the people. So, our primary focus is, to solve the problem. And it was vetted thoroughly, heavily, but also as a political perspective, including those of our unbalanced or objective experts in those finance. And so I just wanted to add that in there, that I think your question is very germane, but we decided that it could be selection somewhat irrelevant, because we have to solve the problem, and I hope that helps.
I appreciate the time of the meeting and the show is, crazy over the day. Biden administration, the kingdom will want to cut $1 billion from government, including $250 million from Digital Glove. That's the real world also. And tethered to that world, I don't know if it strikes me that the world of Christian right now, and I see some balance in the conservative.
If I be very consistent here from what I'm saying, Representative Jefferson, what you're highlighting is a grave concern to me too. And quite frankly, what happened a couple of years ago has been a massive disservice to some of these problems because of the extreme risk aversion and disintegrity that is triggered like you and frankly like me as well. I think just the one material thing I would add is, safety, the term we use is constitutional safety to throw out your side, look, there's two bullets in this, very clear, so people who are drawn to it, that are all just speaking for myself, because I can speak for myself, that the first bullet of those provides massively more comfort to me than the second one, so both side knows, and I think we're going to try a different orientation. But that is
it's kind of a good comment that it's not a good sales pitch when you put all those things on. It's a model that was, I think, agreed upon as very important. Everybody's hands for an idea was entered into the model. There were half a dozen different ideas, and they had to come up with either a balance or a path to get there. And that's the way to think about it. We can't just have our idea in isolation and it has to fit in with everything else. Something a couple of times, and it just makes me again. And we heard that there were conversations with attorneys which I'm back here. First, there's the question. In one model, there's not a formula, but there's an assurance of the constitutional guarantee. Because we're not going to talk about the law. Did any attorney, was any attorney ask whether that would reverse the decision of Lukowski?
Absolutely. Well, I just heard a charge, and it's been talking a little bit too much or something.
That's okay. Thank you. Thank you for the show. It's talking about the phone. Two questions at once. I'm just going to go very briefly here. Janelle, question from Representative Wall. What we looked at with this was not so much that maybe your position is you go to 1,050 because that's what the math is today, with nothing outside of what reduction is going to tax revenue. And maybe a statutory person at 3,800, which I think is the current calculation. You know, we're not going to be more around than what 2,400 or something, whatever 2,300 in place. But moving forward, 50% of the DLMB would be whatever it is. Like currently we're seeing it, you know, 23, 24 hours, I don't know exactly, something in that ballpark. And so the question from Representative Joseph is, you kind of go in the middle of this, and this is not what we can say here, is that you, whatever we do, has to be something that is passable. And from not only the legislature, but especially if it's a constitutional amendment, for example, that would say it's going to be the constitution guaranteed dividend in accordance with the law. And the question you will have from the chair was that, well, yeah, we can change it moving forward, but if we have something that says there will be a PFD in the constitution, is that a $1 PFD, a $500 PFD, a $2,000 PFD, what is it? If there's not certainty on what that's going to be and what cannot change at the will of the legislature, quite frankly, we're right back to where we are today. And a lot of people don't have trust in that. As Representative Cross talking, so we don't know. We're just going to change it again to our will for whatever we want to do. So there has to be more certainty in this process, which is one of the reasons the group generally agreed we have to have some constitutional protection about it. We're just going to continue to fight about it. And so I think to add that highlight to it, that is the reason that we ended up on the constitutional side of the PFD, knowing that 2111 we can pass tax measures and change them in our will. The last part of that is very important. On the constitutional side of this, this has to pass the people, it's not just us. If what we do is not perceived as fair, if even the law that goes to government, for example, then the people may be perceived that that's not fair and it's going to pass. And so we're very sensitive to the fact that that's what some questions have started at the beginning of this meeting. It's got to get passed all weekends. It's got to get passed us, or maybe some measures that are suggested have to be passed to government, but also to the larger people. So when we're sensitive to that, I hope that helps with the reason why we end up where we did. Thank you.
I feel like this discussion is really important, or, you know, community members have some really important questions that I want to make sure that we can dive into a little bit. But I mean, we do have a set of new Senator Schauer as an opportunity here that he needs to go to at 20 a.m. And majority members have another meeting that we need to go to. I think what I'd like to do is sort of continue working through this and recess the meeting at 20 a.m. and come back in during the lunch break to continue through the presentation. I think we can hold this Senator Schauer would be able to join us. I'm sure you would understand if he wasn't able to do that. Is that a possibility for you, Rick Prestonis?
I would have to move something around so I can get back to you shortly, but I would try to do it right now.
All right, thank you. I just feel like this conversation is really important. I think there are a lot of us, and I want to make sure that we're able to. And if they were into some of these things, I think community members have a lot of questions about the specific elements that have been identified in these things on the donations conversation.
But what about Chair, just to sort of start from the record, if Representative Bruce Hopkins can maybe stand publicly while being text, when we work it back together, that might be the easiest thing to do, or you think that way, and I'll do my best to do that as well.
In terms of, I guess, going back to 3, the national description is basically achieving as much specificity and sort of substantive detail as possible without sort of balkanizing and factionalizing the group into like sort of too many different segments or factions or points of view for it to really be sort of helpful or useful. And that was a sort of as a dynamic picture constantly. A couple of examples we've already discussed on, for instance, constitutional change with the PFD and identified two different approaches there. One of which, as mentioned,
a certain portion of the group maybe identifies more so with another and vice versa with the other pair. One day on the list, we also aspire to create sort of very clearly whenever possible. All of the numbers exist within the context of a balanced budget through the consensus fiscal assumptions. So within always in the balanced budget box. If the whole 16 legislature feel like they can get 21 of them, even 14 and 27 on different numbers, you know, like the power of the whole legislature to the decision making body, this is sort of an attempt to move some model and solve the problem and balance the budget and make sure that the math works in a realistic, sort of non overly optimistic way. Even if there was a lot of play in these numbers. And just going back to the process, every member created their own model. So I think it's safe to say, you know, some individual members, you know, had a, you know, bigger factor of policy preference than they have been outside any of the numbers that are mentioned in the report. And that's fine. And I mean, I think there's just kind of the goal of trying to find something that represents labor or could potentially pass and ultimately eliminate. Only by getting really expensive as well as the full 60. So that just sort of speaks a little bit more to the solution strength. So I think the idea is to sort of provide options and planning and ranges that we sort of thought might be helpful or useful for the whole legislature to consider and try and set a sort of marker of, I guess, like comprehensive solution. So again, I think. Is the whole thing to get the final call and what numbers should be or what the specific decision should be.
Well, we're just a couple of minutes coming up to do this next meeting in the room. I'm just informed the judiciary and the Senate is 10:30. I don't know what everybody else's schedule is, but if you want to continue on, I can certainly stay until about time. So, just for the record, thank you.
All right,
then
we should go to thank you for the offer. I really appreciate that. So, looking at the elements of specific strike zone, you noticed that there was a clear consensus around the single entire permanent fund structure in the Constitution, the draft-related backup percentage of market value. And then there's this question of constitutional certainty for the PFD. There were two very different approaches. Was there any discussion about, you know, how an implication between those two different approaches might be placed? A constitutional amendment is a very high threshold, as we've been discussing. If you get to, you know, 2/3 in each of our Senate, and then you have like the people on this world, and I think you referenced this a little bit, so I understand that, but maybe you can do it a little bit further.
acceptable to enough people, including people, because as we pointed out before, the people don't trust us. Our trust rating is very low, and we're going to have to pull out something then that shows good faith that it's going to work. If we can't do that, I don't think it's going to be successful. But my point about our script are going to look at us.
At this moment, at that point, there was quite a bit of discussion of whether to explicitly establish a formula in the Constitution. And the alternative to that was to put some language in the Constitution that did address the Murkowski decision and enable the formula to be set in statute. But you had to follow the statute once the statute was established.
Process to commit. So that was the mission of the process.
All right, and I'd like to just reference
the record that Representative Ortiz has joined us as well, and we're sorry that we didn't get to move in this afternoon. We've gone to the section that I think a lot of folks wanted to have conversation about earlier. I know Representative Hull had some questions and potentially some comments that are very excited. For the public, we are going to recess until lunch hour, so I invited everybody to bring their lunch with us. We are lots of social distancing in the room, and need to make sure people can eat before they have house or get this afternoon. All right, Representative Hull.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'm glad you asked a question related to the strike zone that is being on the side of it. We can build on the ground and still be considered a strike. At the bottom of this page, under strike zone, it says identify ranges and bounds. Before we ask a question, that gets ranged to revenue is ranged to cuts. I guess my question is the range for the PFP. It just went 50-50, 50% of the PFP draw. It didn't have a range. I mean, was that discussed at all? Seeing it's going to have a range, and you even stated in your documents that it was not identified ranges and bounds for the PFP did not have a range. Was that discussed? And if you just not want to go,
I'll say a couple of things. I mean, first of all, you have a 5% PMP draw, and there was broad alignment that the particular PMP draw makes sense in that number and other part. And I'll also say that, I can speak for myself personally, I personally have an AOL draw at 5%. I was a part of 488 or 499 at 475. Scenarios where that is something I thought would be important. So, we didn't like overly charge or spend money on this for a lot. For 50% of PMP, there's a spectrum of opinion among reporters about what the model is more effective in terms of the PFP formula. Just say this is a question for the full legislature. To I think direct is actually the latter part of your question is. Thank you.
recommended is that the fiscal policy working group recommendations, or the recommendations of the working group and not the full website or the full, you know, any sort of grant program would have to make its way through the full legislative process as well. Representative Brox.
Okay, so there's I think as we think about all of these concepts, we're talking specifically about the PFD and think about everything in terms of risk tolerance. If you choose anything, it just shifts the risk from one person to another, or it shifts the it takes the likelihood of paying to a group. And we think about it in terms of risk, and then why is someone else uncomfortable? Why is in this case, we're being a person who is less comfortable with the 5% PMMP drawdown, and then ask people to justify their position. And I think about in terms of, are we taking realistic risks in it?
Respond also. This was a question I was going to ask in our earlier session today. I asked if you were going to constitutional certainty for the PFD. You basically gave two choices in that box the working group did. And I've noticed one of your other solutions that you was resilience to fiscal stress, such as what Brox just talked about. So I would think that was your question was if resilience to fiscal stress is conditions, I would think members would have talked about leaning towards the first bullet there because there's more flexibility within the PFD formulas in the Constitution. So I was curious about those discussions. And my second point about that was, did they talk about redoing the formula that is in the statute at all? Because if there's no solution that says the PFD statute has to be changed.
Representative Strait, through the chair, we're getting through these questions in reverse order. Yes, there was a recommendation. I can see my representative who was asking about rewriting the formula, how did it do to take this PFD formula. So, yes to that question. And then to the former question, I'll just cycle through to results of fiscal stress. Yes, the relationship between fiscal stress and first constitutional certainty, in my opinion, is something for me personally, what you described sort of as a relationship that, you know, makes sense to me. I think whatever the new PFD formula is a qualified signal and such, and it should work, the number should work, that, you know, it should be something that, you know, put yourself after 2 years later. I think actually, in my mind, but it maybe was closely related to my comments and Representative Sharman talked to, is that on constitutional best preserve reform, there's language about CBR's professional management, which a lot of us have heard from the administrative findings, that with the substantial additional balance to absorb this protracts value of volatility. And that's really, really relevant. And so, you know, whatever the plan is, needs to be able to sustain sufficient CDR reserves to absorb fiscal stress. In fact, the Department of Revenue has said, as Dr. talked about, that if they see $1 billion balance, they maintain the CDR. Because we're in the action, markets are going to go down, and we can't have, you know, fantastical risk-like assumptions about these things that, you know, things will only go up and never down. And the rumors are very serious, but I just want to highlight CPR reserve reform as a tool in place, but, you know, whatever the plan is, the work working group felt that it was important to CPR play that purpose.
Thank you, Justice Powell. The committee, as I recall, did discuss this quite extensively, whether the PFD formula should be selected, if you simply some language that makes it clear in the Constitution that it is the statutory formula that would give the legislature more flexibility. But this is my personal observation now, is that I recognized years ago that the legislature had the power to adjust the formula. And that's what this should have been talked about starting 20 years ago, not today. But it just really upset a lot of people that the legislature is ignoring the formula. In the same way that it's upsetting municipal governments that the legislature is ignoring its commitment to fund school board that reimbursement and all the other promises that were made. So the biggest thing that we could accomplish moving forward is to reestablish confidence and predictability from the legislature. And there's a couple of ways to do that, but we need to do that.
Thank you.
Issues in particular that give me some pause. One is the belief in through the decade about what the retirement obligation will be. And the second one is the traditional revenue and what that will be. And in that document, which I'm going to share with you, but my fundamental concern is, for example, OMB. Here's the document looking out through the second decade of the century. And they projected that now, not now, we're going to compare it to 2 years ago, they believed OCDR balance would be $23 billion. They thought that our revenue would be uniform unrestricted revenue, $6 billion. They were wrong. I don't remember who the OMB director was, frankly, but I don't remember him. But they were very, 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 very wrong. So why was it missing this is right?
Representative Justice and DJ, my OMB director's career as well, that's what I mean. The question about why you should assume essentially, I would actually pose just a basic question, which is, what is the least wrong or most reasonable assumptions we can use? Because every assumption that we model is going to be wrong, and we just have to try to align ourselves with what we think is most reasonable, most tolerant or index, or whatever, wherever we are on the spectrum of conservatism to aggressiveness. So, for the two that you honed in on, they're really relevant assumptions. And two are where it is a major variable, and a lot of the reason it's variable and a lot of the reason there's a lot of volatility essentially is because of oil price, for instance. These are other factors as well, the volatility, we have to be wrong. And recognizing that we know it's going to be wrong. How much or little, we know it's going to be wrong. This is really important to stress test the model and do it aggressively. Because that's basically the way you assess where wrong is and the degree to which a model or a budget plan can survive that sort of worst case scenarios. The other assumption you will need in retirement also really, really wrong. So you start in terms of what the annual operating budget deficit is. We spent multiple hours as a group on this assumption. I spent additional multiple hours on the phone with the OMB director and the finance director. It's a very night. I'd say I didn't know that, especially we spent another group hearing just on this assumption. Actually, I had a lot of heart for what I was sitting there on such a boring subject that seemed irrelevant. It's actually like, in terms of what the problem is, it's a really important driver, and if we spend 2 hours to
assumption that we made it on. I always felt it was reasonable given the analysis and the finance provided, which is, basically an assumption that the group adopted to reflect the present reality, even though it was not sort of typically speaking the assumption that let's say finance reasons. So it was basically it passed the reason of listenability to us. I would, at this point, go to the house since I started doing the research personally. So I would really like to drive it next time here to just get to a greater depth. But I think what was really important, like just speaking for myself personally, is that it wasn't sort of overly optimistic. I mean, I thought we had this 12.5% earnings assumption on the PF. It's almost like relatively optimistic. But there was some reasonableness associated with that assumption. I think the big thing is that there's some discussion of the details, how whatever we put forward would be really good and critical and good thing that we think comes around. Interestingly, perhaps ironically, given the sort of opinion you referred to earlier, and given the fact that we can't wait to change the status of the must be part of the grand bargain, even the governor seems to agree. I think weirdly, and I would really have the full time in the Constitution, even if I'm some conservative on this topic,
I will just note also that in the fiscal policy working group baseline budget assumptions, and we haven't really discussed this sort of fully in the group with the exception today, with the exception of the PUMD revenue projection of 6.2%, which is certainly amended by the loan for the current fund. But there are a whole series of assumptions that we've worked to those on the meeting for this particular meeting. So the public can find those. One of the assumptions in there is that the community assistance program and is that a, was that a fairly controversial point, or was that a discussion with our share in the meeting?
Representative Spavos, in the chair. This is actually, I'm still working behind the bounds of my territory. Remember, with community assistance, that was, I think, tied to TCB D2. And there's a lot of conversation about what Senator Hoffman and the governor and others have proposed for constitutionalization of TCE, and because community assistance is not a waterfall. I think that is why or how that assumption popped up as a negative assumption that PCP would be structured potentially with constitutional scrutiny. I think not. This happened in the review process, so it's now under review here at this point. Yeah, I'd have to get back to you. It's possible that I have to talk to a bunch of people too.
Thank you, Ms. Bumholz. I'm going to press down with Ms. The Chair. Definitely capital budget. You want to go on to 110 million. I expect that there probably have people who want to be higher on that. What's brought the decision to the two of them?
Representative, I'm just referred to the first half of the hearing and affirmative to all members, including the chair and all the process. is that feel free to put it up on this to get the idea that whatever. Yeah, that makes sense. But with the answer to your question about the capital budget, and there were some definitely opinions. I think the governor and DMR have been using much smaller figure for their baseline assumptions. I think like maybe it was around the 150 million ETF rate. But what I'm saying was the product of two factors. One of them was from health acquired, and then this was something after the rest of the overall fund that city finance recommended, which is looking at the total value of the assets the state has, and then basically looking at about 1% of the total value figure, which is $60 million, and then adding that on the 150 million, and then that there's sort of a in terms of like payment to maintenance and that's a reasonable rule of thumb for budgeting. So 210 is where we landed on. There are some people that were pushing for a smaller number, some people pushing for a bigger number. But this is the baseline, and again, with all of these things, you can sort of gradually go down the town as you might see fit.
Thank you.
just need to, I really need to scrutinize work so that we're not doing the equivalent of living paycheck to paycheck. That's my concern.
Okay. Are there questions or comments from other community members? Representative Lewis, we need to be quiet tonight.
Thank you, Josh. I also just in response to Representative Josephson in this time, I appreciate what he's saying, and you do want to be forward-thinking, but as in all forward-thinking, you only have so much control over some of the risks. And the state, unfortunately, is very much like a business model, a business model. And in a business, or even in your personal finances, you can take an approach that is still contemporary. This is an example, you could put your retirement investment entirely in bonds, and then inflation creeps up and it removes the value. Or you could put your entire investment in oil futures or gold bullion or something like that. And the market volatility can eat up in a way that money is not guaranteed. There's just the best decisions that we can make going forward, and it's important to keep that in mind. You can't be too certain.
Absolutely, Charlie. Thank you, Rich. But also, I just wanted to comment that I was at Jacksonville now and I'm looking at this planet and this working group, and I just wanted to thank everybody at the working group for their hard work. Many hours in coming together with this, that really gives us a blueprint that's realistic with the challenges that we face. And so I'm hopeful that we will keep working and do this hard work, because as you said at the beginning of the meeting, there is so much stress to our state and to everyone else by not figuring this out and not making our decisions. And so thank you for the step that you've brought us to, and I'm grateful to see other bills that will be coming forward to include this.
Thank
you. Robert, did I hear
anything to say? No, that was it. Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for your time today, as well as for your flexibility. I think that the fiscal policy working group will certainly require recommendations on the probably not any one member of this committee that loved every element of those things. I think that certainly does evidence our extremists referencing, a potential blue-collar and Catholic word, and also represents a constructive progress forward in a lot of ways. Over the next 2 weeks, the House Ways and Means Committee is going to continue to work forward through elements of that were recommended by the Fiscal Policy Working Group on Wednesday. We're going to look at an overview of permanent fund and permanent fund data reform legislation this year. We will include a hearing on introductory hearing on Representative Eastman's bill, which would, I believe, eliminate the PUMD in statute. And I think on Friday we'll look at revenue. And then on Monday, the following week, because next week there's Labor Day weekend, we'll take up the appropriation limit. And then after that, we'll start looking at efficiency. So we're going to be diving in much deeper over the next 2 weeks. And I look forward to having many more conversations about this next. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to our journey.